الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the program Repentance. And in today's episode, inshallah, we'll be bringing new information before you for repentance. Repentance, dear viewers of Madani Channel, as we mentioned earlier as well, is an integral part of our faith, of our iman. Without repentance, we cannot relish the sweetness of our worship. Repentance cleanses a person's insight, it purifies a person's heart. So, repentance is extremely important. And in this program of ours, we cover repentance from different dimensions, trying to define repentance for our viewers to make it clear to them that what repentance actually means and what essential pillars are there that we need to be mindful of when we are making sincere repentance. What elements are there that our repentance should consist of in order for it to become sincere repentance, tawbatun nasuh. So today, again inshallah azawajal, we'll be talking about repentance, and in today's episode, we will talk about the conditions of repentance. What are the conditions which are mentioned by ulama for repentance? Please stay with us from start till end. Inshallah, by the end of today's episode, we will somewhat get a better understanding regarding the conditions of repentance. But before that, as usual, let's first of all enlighten our hearts by listening to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said to a person performing salah, followed by the glorification of Allah Almighty and the recitation of Salat, meaning a person who had offered his Salah, he glorified Allah Almighty, he performed the Hamd of Allah Almighty, and then he sent peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam. To him, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam said, make dua, it will be answered. Ask for, it will be granted. So we come to know, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that offering salah, performing hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is from amongst those actions which become a means of the acceptance of our du'as. And also, it becomes a means for our lawful desires to become accepted in the court of Allah Almighty, for them to be granted to us. So if we also want our du'as to be accepted, we want our lawful desires to be granted to us, then we should, of course, offer salah. Salah is fard upon us. Glorify Allah Almighty, perform hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and send peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, our du'as will also be answered, and our lawful desires will also be granted to us. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So today's topic, dear viewers of Madani Channel, is the conditions of repentance. So condition number one for repentance, which ulama have mentioned, is that abandoning sin such that a person makes intention firm on the fact that now I will not return back to the sin. So, a firm intention. A person abandons sin in such a way that he makes his heart and intention firm on the fact. He make a firm intention that he will not return back to the sin. If a person does abandon the sin, but doesn't firmly intend not to commit the sin again in future, then we've come to know that such individuals normally do return back to that sin, and eventually they end up committing that sin. So such kind of people will not be deemed as those who repent wholeheartedly. They will be those who temporarily, for timing, they abandon the sin, leave the sin, but they will not be amongst those who repent wholeheartedly. So the first condition is making a firm intention of not returning back to the sin after abandoning it. Second condition, a sin should have been committed upon which he would be repenting. Otherwise, he wouldn't be repenting over it. He would be abstaining from it. He would be avoiding the sin. Condition number three, abandoning of sin should be primarily and solely for the honor of Allah Almighty and to remain safe from His anger and His wrath. It should not be for any worldly gain, fear of people seeking one's own praise and acclaim, desiring to attain fame, or because of physical weakness or dependency. So, we need to ensure that whenever we repent, it is solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any worldly gain. Because many a times, there are many different kind of scenarios in which we see people abandoning sins. One scenario could be that certain peoples or certain group of people may deem that person as noble. They deem him as an honorable individual of the society, whereas they are unaware of the sin that he commits. Now, this person over here, he fears that this sin will become apparent upon these people, and I will lose my dignity, my honor in their sight. So eventually, what does he do? He abandons the sin. He abandons the sin over here. Now, he has abandoned the sin. But what is the purpose, his intention behind abandoning the sin? A sin in itself was an action that was a means of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But over here, he abandoned this sin. Why? Not to lose his honor and his dignity, his respect in the sight of people. Not because he feared the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he was worried about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being displeased with him. Although he abandoned the sin over here, but the intention was something else. Similarly, sometimes people, they attain a certain rank and they enjoy being on that rank because of maybe the financial earnings that they are having, or because of the respect factor, or you know, there can be many other reasons. And people, they designate a person on a certain rank because of certain, you know, positive opinions that they carry about that certain individual. Now, if he openly commits those wrongdoings, those sins in front of those people, then he knows that this status, this rank, this position, this designation will be taken away from me. Or I wouldn't be as famous amongst people as I am now. People won't respect me anymore. You know, this honor, this dignity will be taken away from me. Or maybe, you know, I'll lose my certain job because of which I'm earning so much money. I'll have a great financial loss. Or maybe if I do a business, I lose out many customers once they come to know of a certain flaw in me. So, if a person abandons a sin because of any of these reasons, again, this will not be deemed as repentance, as him repenting. Why? Because leaving the sin, that is a fundamental condition of repentance. Leaving a sin, abandoning the sin. But then comes another important part of it, which is that what intention do you hold for abandoning and leaving that sin? So this is very important. So abandoning the sin is one thing, but the intention behind it is what would actually determine the abandoning of sin, whether that is valid claim for your repentance to be valid or not. So this is where we need to be very, very careful and mindful. So whenever you repent, whenever you abandon sin, it should be solely and primarily for the purpose of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No worldly reason, no worldly gain, no other reason. Only fearing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the displeasure of Allah Almighty, and solely for the honor of Allah Almighty. So these are the conditions and some of the pillars, essential pillars of repentance, which ulama have mentioned. And a repentance, it becomes complete and sincere once all these elements are met, which we've just mentioned. So whenever you repent after ma'azallah committing a sin or the sins that we've committed in the past, please make sure that our repentance consists of all these pillars, insha'Allah azza wa jal. Then our repentance will be valid. Our repentance will be a true repentance. Otherwise, our repentance will not be repentance. It will be abandoning of sin in case we do abandon, and if any of these essentials are missing out. So that repentance will not be deemed as valid repentance. So make sure our repentance meets all these criteria so that we can also attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Maidah, verse number 39, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Meaning, so whoever repents after his transgression and reforms himself, then Allah will turn to him with his grace. Indeed, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. In the commentary of this verse, it has been stated that repentance is a very fine thing, something very, very nice. No matter how great a sin may be, once a person repents from it, Allah Almighty forgives his right from that sin and grants deliverance to the person who repents from the punishment of the hereafter. However, we need to be mindful that if a sin consists of violating someone else's rights, then getting it forgiven by him is also mandatory, is also necessary. Regarding how to expiate for the rights that have been violated, other people's rights that have been violated, inshallah azawajal, we will cover this subject in our future episodes. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to repent wholeheartedly, repent sincerely, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be firm and steadfast in abandoning sins. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Forgive me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Guide me. Have mercy on me. Guide.